All right, then if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go back and pick up here where we left off a little bit this morning in Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I want to point out maybe a few interesting thoughts as well tonight that we find here. We discussed this morning a little bit about people as we find here a individual, a man in chapter 5 of Mark, that is possessed with an unclean spirit, as the Bible describes here. You'll find also the word devils are used in this chapter as well. We find that they are cast out of this man. He claims that he is legion, which means around 6,000, I believe, if I'm correct on the word legion and what that means. Then we find that they were cast out, and we're going to look at some things here this evening. I'm not going to be as long this evening. I apologize. I went over this morning more than I should have, and I do apologize for that, and I'll give you a little bit of time back tonight. We'll make a good deal, and that way everybody will be happy tonight, all right? But I do believe this. I honestly believe that the reason that we see constantly, week after week after week, horrible things taking place in our world is because of demonic influence. I just believe that. I believe that devils are real. I believe that it is possible for people to be possessed by a devil. Now, somebody did ask me, is it possible for a born-again believer to be possessed of a devil? I do not believe that that is possible. I do believe, though, this, and you may disagree with me here, I think maybe a Christian can be influenced by one to a point, but if you are a child of God and if the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you, I do not believe it's possible for a devil to live inside of you as well. But we're going to look at some things here. Chapter 5, we find here in verse number 1, Jesus gets out of the ship here, and as he gets out of the ship, we're going to find here that this man comes running up to him. And we're going to find here that in this chapter, it's kind of unique here a little bit. We find that he met him. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, the man comes from the tombs. That's where he lives. And we find here in verse number 2 that he is the one with an unclean spirit. Now tonight, I was going to take and go to some other passages of Scripture as well that describe someone that is possessed of a devil. But for sake of time, we'll just stay right here in this chapter here and look at some different things that we can find. Now, I don't know a lot about demon possession. I'm just going to kind of go along with what the Bible gives me. And we find, and as I described, there are some characteristics that took place in this person's life that we can look at that is biblical and scriptural and find out some of the ways the person acted. We find where he lived inside the tombs, and this man with an unclean spirit. We find in verse number 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So no doubt they tried. They tried to work with him and had no success. I'm sure they tried locking him up. They would chain him up. They would put fetters, no doubt, on his ankles and maybe his wrist as well, and maybe one around his neck. And they would do all they could to try to chain him up because he was a wild man. He was uncontrollable. Nothing worked. I mean, he had supernatural strength. He could break the chains. He broke the fetters. I believe that society just gave up on him because they didn't know what else they could do with him. And no man could bind him in verse number 3, not even with chains, as it says here. Verse number 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So no doubt they tried to even tame him like you would maybe a wild animal. And he acted like a wild animal, so they probably treated him like a wild animal. But not one man, no single person had any success in even taming him. Chains didn't work. The binding him didn't work. Trying to work with him and calm him down and tame him, that didn't work as well. And then it says in verse number 5, and always, night and day. Can you imagine trying to sleep and live close to the tombs of this wild man? Because the Bible says here at verse number 5, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones here. He was one that I don't think he enjoyed being possessed here. He was one that was actually, I believe, even tormented by this possession of this unclean spirit that dwelt inside of him. Verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That's interesting to me. We find here that this man runs up to Jesus Christ as Jesus had gotten out of the ship and was walking. He runs up to him. And if you go over the book of Luke, I believe it's Luke chapter 8, you'll find the Bible describes it that he runs up to him and he kneels down before him. May I say tonight that I personally believe that devils know who Jesus is. And I believe they are submissive unto him. And boy, it just excites me tonight to know and to understand and to realize tonight that the devils of this world tonight are subject to my Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, I may not be able to give the person an answer, and I may not know how to solve that individual's problem, and I don't really know what to do with a demon-possessed individual. All I know is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is, even the devils are subject unto him. And it's, boy, what good news that we know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ has power over all devils tonight. You know, it just reminds me over and over, there's never a case too hard that Jesus cannot solve. Now, we all have problems. Some of us have bigger problems than others tonight. Some of us face maybe some mountains before us that we must climb. Some of us, maybe we're on the mountaintop. But may I say tonight, no matter what your problem may be, and I've always found this to be true, I've never met a person that doesn't have a degree of problem. And there are times in life that we may not even know what the answer may be, but the answer has always been Jesus is always the answer. So this man runs up and he bows down before Jesus Christ, and there's some interesting things that we find here in this passage as well. I personally believe that the unclean spirit that possessed this man, he knows exactly who Jesus is. Now, I call him a he, and I'm assuming, you know, when you talk about a devil, I don't know if it's a she or he. I'm just going to call it a he here tonight. But this devil, or this unclean spirit inside this man possessed here, bows down before him in verse number 6. We find in verse number 7 something else interesting. They can talk. We find in verse number 7, the Bible says, and cried with a loud voice and said, here's what he says. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not. So may I say tonight that demons, and this is just me, and I'm using the word demons. Devils is a better word. It's a biblical word for them. But these devils are unclean spirits tonight. I personally believe they, number one, they know who Jesus is. They know that they have no power over Jesus Christ. I believe that's why he actually kneels before Jesus Christ. And also I find here tonight that I believe devils tonight can actually talk. Would you not say that tonight? If I read my Bible correctly here, he actually talks to Jesus Christ and basically says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Jesus responds, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. We get to verse number 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? Another interesting thought that I have here that I read and I find here that I believe devils have names. I believe that these unclean spirits that possess an individual that torment people and always seek to do harm and create chaos and so forth, they have names. In fact, we find here this devil has a name. He responds and answers in verse number 9, my name is Legion, for we are many. I mentioned to you this morning and also tonight, the word legion, I think it means, I may be wrong, I didn't go back and research it much, but I believe the word means about 6,000. We also noticed this morning that as these demons or unclean spirits are cast out into the swine, we find that 2,000 swine drowned. So I don't know if there were more than that, but I do know for a fact that there are many inside this man. Which also tells me tonight that a person can be possessed by more than one devil tonight. They can have more than one unclean spirit inside of them tonight. And I think you would have to agree with me tonight. There's just too many wicked and horrible events that are taking place in this world that we have to acknowledge tonight and realize and understand there is a demonic influence present in our day and age. Legion. For we are many. So we find here that a person can actually be possessed by more than one devil. We find something else here. We find that in verse number 13 that it says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, which basically means Jesus cast the unclean spirits out of this individual. They ask to be cast into the swine, and into the swine they go. And we find here that the swine, this herd of swine, ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about, the Bible says in verse number 13, 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, I don't know if it's talking about the swine that choked, or is it the swine and the unclean spirits that's choked to death here. I don't know. I honestly believe, number one, I think the swine drowned, but I want to think maybe even the devils drowned there as well. I don't know if that means they can't swim or what. I don't know. I don't know if some of them died and maybe some of them lived. I don't know. But it must be noted tonight that no matter how dark the day may be, and no matter how much demonic, devilish influence there is in our society, it's not something that Jesus Christ cannot take care of. Boy, this evening, tonight, you know, when I realize that Jesus Christ, when even the devils are subject unto him, it makes me understand and realize that, you know, my problems aren't as big as I thought they were. Jesus Christ bids them to leave the man in verse number 13. And after he speaks this, these unclean spirits, they have to go because Jesus spoke it into existence here. And there is no case that's too hard for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Something else interesting here. There's people watching this man with the unclean spirit. In fact, look, if you would, with me, at verse number 14, and they that fed the swine fled. I imagine they're a little upset because they just lost all their swine. And it says in verse number 14 that all they that fed the swine, I don't know how many there were, they flee and they go into the city and into the country, it says here, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. So now a large crowd gathers here and they come because those that owned the swine, they run to town and out into the countryside telling everybody, you're not going to believe what we just saw. And so the curiosity of everybody creates a large crowd that comes back. They see Jesus Christ and they know that that is the one that in their mind supposedly cured this man. And they notice the man there also in verse number 14 or verse number 15 that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And it says here he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they, talking about this large crowd, they were what? They were afraid. That shocks me. In fact, you get down to verse number 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. In verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Do you understand here that this large crowd that comes and they see Jesus and they see the man that has been cured of this unclean spirit and they're now afraid of Jesus? Isn't it kind of ironic that they weren't necessarily afraid of him when he was possessed, but now that he's in his right man, he's sitting in his right mind, he's clothed and got his life back together and everything. And now they're so afraid of Jesus Christ, they even ask Jesus Christ to please leave. You know, we need to accept the fact tonight, this world's never going to love us, no matter how much good we do in life. Out of everybody to be afraid of, I'd be a lot more afraid of the devils that were cast out than I would be Jesus Christ. And the crowd asked him to leave. So there's several things here that I want us to note as well in continuing here a little bit, that you find the results present. I mean, the Bible plainly gives you the results of what's taking place in this man's life. You find in verse number 15, he's setting down. He's now calm, setting still. He's not yelling. He's not crying. He's not screaming. He's not cutting himself with stones anymore. He's sitting there very calmly by Jesus Christ. Beforehand, nobody could tame him. He doesn't need chains anymore. He doesn't need fetters anymore. He doesn't need anybody to try to calm him down anymore. You see, this morning, as we described, no man could tame him, but Jesus could. Now, we find him sitting. We find also in verse number 15, the Bible describes him as clothed. It's interesting here that the Bible gives you a description of him, and as the Bible tries to give you a visual description, there he is sitting, and I can see him sitting there. He's calm, he's normal, he's just like everybody else. The Bible says now he is clothed. Now, you know, it's interesting that I even made a little bit of a reference to it this morning. When you get saved, you put clothes on. When you get right with God, it changes the way you live your life. It's interesting in the Bible when it talks about nakedness. And first, if we were to go over to John chapter 21, if you remember, it was Peter. You remember how Peter, I mean, he got out of the ministry. He went back to doing what he knew to do, go fishing. You remember that? He basically quit the ministry and went back to something he knew and was good at, and that was fishing and so forth. If you remember, there was a time when Jesus Christ came by, spoke unto them, told them to throw the nets on the other side, and they caught all the fish they could ever catch and so forth. And finally, somebody told Peter, it's the Lord. The Bible says that he had to grab his coat and cover himself and jump inside the sea, if you would, because the Bible says for he was naked. You know, this evening we need to understand that nakedness and Christianity don't go hand in hand. God's people ought to look right, we ought to act right, we ought to talk right, we ought to behave ourselves. And this world, when they look at us, they ought to know that we're a believer. You find that it's old saying, the further a person gets away from God, the more clothes that come off. Probably a lot of truth to that. But this individual who was possessed of this unclean spirit, evidently the unclean spirit told him to take his clothes off. But now he's got his clothes back on. We find that this man that was possessed of the unclean spirit at one point was uncontrollable. He's a wild man, but yet now he's calm and he's sitting down beside our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We also find here in verse number 15, the Bible says he's in his right mind. I mean, he got his mind right. He was now normal, if you would. I was reading a little bit the other night about George Whitfield, an old preacher from years gone by, made a statement. I wrote it down in my notes. He says this: Jesus will take in all the devil's castaways. And he's very true. Listen, you may turn on the news this week and tragedy may appear on your screen. And we watch that. And as I mentioned this morning, we always count it off as this. Or maybe we say, well, that person's crazy, or he had mental problems, or he didn't take his medications, or she didn't do this, or they didn't do that, whatever the case may be. But we must understand this morning and also this evening that there are many times people do tragic, horrible, ungodly, unthinkable things in life because devils possess them. But oh, dear friend, this morning, or this evening, may I say, the answer has always been the same, and it's still the same tonight. What this world needs is Jesus Christ tonight. If this man that was possessed with an unclean spirit, with at least 2,000, maybe 6,000 devils dwelling inside of him, and if Jesus can cure that individual, dear friend, I promise you this evening, God can save anybody. You ever thought about this? The horror, whoever the most wicked individual may be tonight, God loves them tonight. The person that's committed the most hideous crimes, those that are on death row tonight, do you know tonight Jesus died for them too? Jesus loves everybody. And now we find, and they come to Jesus and see him. And they see the man that was possessed with the devil in verse number 15 and had a legion. and he was setting, and he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. And they were afraid. I don't understand that statement. What do you mean you're afraid? I mean, Jesus just took care of the guy that was wreaking havoc on the whole community. If you remember, this man that was living in the tombs and at night and in the mountains and in the tombs, he was crying and running wild and cutting himself. And I don't know, but I'm sure that at times he may be out in the daytime. And I'm sure if people were out in public, you'd take your kids and you'd go to the other side of the street. You wouldn't walk down the same side of the street as this guy. I mean, he's crazy. I mean, he's possessed of an unclean spirit. And yet now, after Jesus Christ cast out that devil, and as that devil was cast out, and as those devils, as we find that they go into the swine in verse number 12 and verse number 13. It says in verse number 13, the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And we see all that takes place, but yet after everything's all said and done, he's now calm. He's sitting down at the sitting with Jesus Christ. He's in his right mind. He's got clothes on. And then the Bible says, now the people are afraid. Tonight, as I have mentioned this morning, I just believe, and it's just my personal opinion tonight, I believe people are possessed with devils at this point in life. I don't know who all they are. I don't know that I can say that I think that person is and that person is and so forth, but I believe that there is a demonic influence like never before in our society. There's just too many things that are going and taking place. And I understand a lot of times we'll point to things and say, well, that's just because it's the last days. And I believe that's true. I believe that we are in the last days. I'm not saying the Lord's coming back tonight. He might. I don't know when he's going to come back. I believe he is going to come back. Will he come back in my lifetime? I don't know. I've been taught and I've been preached to all my life, and every preacher that I've ever had has always said, we're living in the last days. I can still remember being a teenager, and our pastor, he made that reference all the time. Always look up because the Lord may return this week. He'd always say, keep your head up because always looking up because you never know when the trumpet's going to sound. And I always thought to myself, I don't know if I'll ever make it to adulthood because the Lord's going to come back. I made it to adulthood and he still hasn't come back, but it doesn't mean that he's not coming back, dear friend. As we read this morning, that perilous times, which the word perilous means dangerous. And I think we would all agree, we live in very dangerous days. Who knows, it may be dangerous tonight to go to Walmart. It may be dangerous, as we talked about this morning, as some went to a movie theater one night. That was a dangerous night for them. Young people go to school never even realizing that it's going to be very dangerous for them that day. We want to kind of write it off that, well, they're just crazy people. And they are. I understand that mentality and that thought process. But maybe there's a reason why they're crazy. As I mentioned this morning, often after they finally arrest the person that does these horrific events and so forth, and they get all the psychiatrists in there, and they all speak to them and interview them and so forth, and most all of them will always say, there was voices in my head telling me to do it. And it probably was. But we know for a fact it wasn't the Holy Spirit speaking to them to do that. I jotted down some things here. It's actually 14 points, but it's 7 and 7. They go together here. Before Christ and after meeting Christ. And by the way, I thought a great title for this chapter would be going from being demon-possessed to a missionary for Christ. You'll find that as he let's go to verse number 15. They come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion setting and was clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, talking about Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go to be with him, he says here. The man that was possessed, that was with the devil here, or the unclean spirit, he comes in the ship, tells Jesus, I won't go with you. But what would it be like to have a lot of people just want to serve Jesus? And we find here, he says in verse number 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And I believe he goes home and I believe he tells everybody, you're not going to believe what happened to me. Can you imagine this individual now walking around town? I mean, he was the crazy lunatic. In fact, you'll find, I think Mr. Schofield calls him a maniac. That's what most preachers call him, the maniac of Gadara. In fact, if you have a Schofield Bible in chapter 5 right underneath it, you'll find Mr. Schofield puts a little note there that he calls him a maniac. Can you imagine going from a maniac to a missionary for Christ? You see, Christ, he can do amazing things with people. He was an outcast. Nobody had anything to do with this guy. Nobody loved him. Nobody cared for him. As far as I know, he didn't have any family. He tells him here in verse number 19 to go home to thy friends. So I don't know if that's also considering family. I don't know if he had any family and his friends. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of friends would he have? And I believe he leaves that ship. And I'm just speculating here. I believe he goes to town and finds everybody he can find and tells them, you're not going to believe what's happened to me. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. Let's be honest tonight. One of the greatest testimonial tools, evangelistic tools we have tonight is our own testimony. I hear people all the time, I just don't know if I could ever, you know, lead somebody to Christ. Well, if you've been born again, you can lead somebody to Christ. One of the greatest things you could ever do is share with somebody what Christ has done for you. And I believe he goes and I believe he tells everybody and spreads what I would call the gospel, if you would, of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes all people need to know, and sometimes some of the greatest influence you could ever have on an individual is just tell them how you got saved. You know, just say, you know, let me tell you what's happened to me in my life. You know, people like to hear about things that happen in people's life. Let me give you some things before Christ and after meeting Christ. Number one, before Christ, he was demon-possessed. After he meets Christ, demons have to go. Before Christ, he lived in the tombs. After meeting Christ, you find him sitting at the foot of Jesus Christ. Before Christ, he was chained hand and foot. After Christ, he's sitting beside Jesus Christ. You'll find before Christ, no man could tame him. After meeting Christ, he's in his right mind. You'll find before Christ, he was crying. After Christ, he begs to go with Jesus. Before Christ, you find him cutting himself. You'll find after meeting Christ, he goes home to his friends. Before Jesus Christ came on the scene, he ran around with no clothes on. After meeting Jesus Christ, he's dressed, sitting, and in his right mind. You see, tonight, I'm not saying because there are devil influences in this world and even people probably possessed of devils, that there's no hope for them, because there is hope for them tonight. I don't care who it is in your life that you may know tonight that's lost, they're not beyond the reach of God. There's hope for everybody. I always look at it this way. If a person's breathing air, there's hope. If they're still living, there's hope. Now, when they stop breathing and they go to their grave, it's a little too late then. But hey, let's not give up on people. There's people in our life that we know of. They're hard. They are callous. They are very ugly when it comes to the things of God. And I understand all that. But hey, let's don't give up on them tonight. You see, tonight, if Jesus can do what he's done with this individual, I think he can save anybody. Even the hardest of the hard. I thought to myself, if I were living in this community, I asked myself, I wonder would I have ever gone and witnessed to? Probably not. Probably not. I probably would have written it off. You know, the reason I'm going to witness because he's crazy. He couldn't understand anyway. You see, tonight he didn't have a mental disease. He had a devil problem. But that's no problem for Jesus Christ, because God can always solve the devil problem. Completely possessed. And now becomes what I want to believe tonight. You'll find, we'll start with this. You look at verse number 20. This man, he departs. He begins to publish, which means he begins to speak. He begins to tell, as the Bible says in verse number 20, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. What does that mean? It means this. I believe everywhere he went, he would go up to an individual and say, you know, let me tell you what's happened to me. Let me tell you what I used to be, and let me tell you what I am now after I met Christ. One of the greatest things that we can do in our life is to share with this world what Christ has done for us. And by the way, sometimes you may share it with somebody that's already saved, but it can be an encouragement to others. My mind thinks about this past week. I had to have a mechanic come out and work on a skid steer for me and so forth, so a mechanic. And so I was working with him, trying to get him there, and he's going to have to come in the evening to work on it and so forth. And he was trying to plan out his week and so forth. And he said, well, I can't come Wednesday. I go to church on Wednesday night. I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. Am I right? I've got news for you. Don't a whole lot of people go to church on Wednesday night. So we set up. He came, I think, was it Thursday night? I believe he came Thursday and so forth. And he's a younger guy. And I began to talk with him a little bit, and I said, let me ask you a question, and so forth. I said, you mentioned the other night you couldn't come on a Wednesday night, and I'm glad because you went to church. And I told him a little bit about myself and so forth, and where I go to church here and so forth. And he knows about our church, knows the school. In fact, he's had somebody in his family come to school here and so forth, and found out where he went to church and so forth, and how he got saved and so forth. Man, that was an encouragement to me. Are y'all with me tonight? I mean, sometimes we just need to share with the world, and even sometimes it may be somebody that's not lost. Maybe they are saved, but you know, it's good to hear about what the Lord's done in their life. Man, I'd rather have a mechanic come to my place and work and praise the Lord than some mechanic come out there and want to use foul language and so forth. See, our problem is tonight, and we're all probably guilty, we just don't tell enough people about what the Lord's done for us. I'll end with this, and I think I may have shared this with you. One of the biggest regrets I've ever had in my life was when I was a teenager, we had an activity. It was actually at Patty's church that night. Mike Nolan was the youth director. And I think he called it Light, Learning in God's Holy Time. That's what it was called. We'd play baseball and softball sports for an hour or so, and then we would load up on a bus and go to somebody's house, and he'd give a devotion and so forth. And every now and then, he would get some of the teenagers to give their testimony. And he came to me one night and asked me if I'd give mine. And I said no. He didn't say a whole lot, and he didn't try to twist my arm or make me feel bad or uncomfortable and so forth. But he came to me later that evening, and he said, why is it you weren't willing to give your testimony tonight? And I said, I mean, what am I going to tell him? I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. I mean, I don't. You know, I've grew up in a good home, have a good mom and dad, and got saved. And I mean, what more am I going to be able to tell? And he told me, he said, you need to understand something. Your testimony may be about the greatest testimony that could ever be given.
Because the life that you had is the way the life ought to be for everybody. And I regret to this day not giving my testimony that night. But let's not live life in regrets that we should have. We should have spoke up. We should have witnessed. We should have left a gospel tract. We should have told them about what the Lord's done to us. I'm afraid so many times in life it's what we should have done. When we need to live life, and just do it. Tell that person at work that you don't think has any, that has no interest whatsoever in our Savior. And they may not. And I'm not saying everybody's going to receive you. I've had a lot of people not receive the message of the gospel. And that's okay. The Bible tells me it's not me they're rejecting, it's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ they're actually rejecting. But this man goes back and tells everybody what the Lord has done in his life. And the Bible says, and people marvel. They marveled at what took place. You never know, with you sharing your testimony with someone, what it might can do. But I'm afraid I won't word it just right. You know, let's get past that tonight. You're not. You're going to mess up. You know, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. I'll mess up. You will. We all do. Brother Richard, you ever made a mistake in preaching, said the wrong thing? I preached before and had my notes completely backwards, and everybody's totally confused when I've got done. I was confused when I got done. Brother Larry, have you ever messed up singing? Let's get past that excuse. I'm afraid I'll stumble, or I'll fall, or I'll make a mistake, or I won't say the right thing. Far more damaging than that is not saying anything at all. And here he is, and I'm done. We'll pray and we'll leave here. What time is it? Yep, we'll get out just a little bit early. Can you imagine being possessed? What's your name? Legion. What's Legion? 6,000. I know about 2,000 swine died that was possessed. Can you imagine going from that? Running around, no clothes on, screaming, hollering, cutting yourself, body mutilation, horrific. Chains, everyone stop him. He's got supernatural strength somehow. Breaks the chains, breaks the fetters, runs around through the tombs, sleeps in the tombs, and at night you're trying to sleep, and all you can do is hear that crazy man screaming and cutting himself. And he goes from that to being a missionary for Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, I don't know that we have too many excuses of why we can't tell somebody what the Lord's done for us. You know, it's good to hear about what God's done for people. Sometimes you're going to be the one on the discouraging end. Sometimes it's uplifting just to hear, you know, God's still working. Sometimes it's good just to be able to share because God's maybe answered a prayer in your life, or God's done something maybe spectacular in your life. It's nothing wrong with sharing that with someone. I know this, and I wasn't with this mechanic, but about maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes the other night, but when I left there, I was encouraged. He encouraged me. Young guy, married, family. We need a lot of people like that in this world. You see, somebody shared the gospel with you. And I think it's best tonight if we turn around and share it with somebody else. We all run into people and strangers all the time, opportunities to share the gospel with people, and we ought to do just that. May we tonight, I'll just close out here, may we tonight be a little bit like verse number 20, who just goes out and tells all the great things that Jesus hath done for him.
And the Bible says at the end of verse number 20, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you tonight. And